Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Talk when things are messed up in my ear. So I have one of the switches for my mixer, and when I move it, the audio gets unbalanced in my head, and it throws me off. Yeah, I can't even speak. Right? It's like I fall out of my chair. It screws me up. So, good morning to you on a Tuesday morning. The first day of December. Already here. How about that? Yeah. December. The month of my birthday. That's right. I have to tell you, though, that I'm not very fired up about it. That may shock you, but as I get older and that number keeps going up, not real excited about it. It's like, damn, man. Are you kidding me? Can't we just stop it for a while? Can't we put that, put that on hold? You know, it's kind of interesting. We have this rule. Well, it's this kind of thing Colleen and I started doing. And so the rule is that when we watch movies, one person, the movies we watch, have to come from a list that includes, right now the list is, it's got to be an Academy Award winner for Best Picture. And so you really can't go wrong. And, you know, the game was, one of us nominates three, one of us nominates three movies, the other one gets to pick. So then Catherine showed up. And so Catherine's like, okay. So we watched a movie. I can't remember the name of it. But it was a Martin Scorsese movie that has Leonardo DiCaprio in it. He's an undercover guy. It has Matt Damon in it. He's a bad guy, but he's a cop. Has Robert De Niro in it. He's a really bad guy, kind of a mobster, the mobster guy in the movie. And I'm not, you know, Scorsese movies are pretty bloody. And that's not like when I go to be entertained, that's not really my thing. And so, you know, I watched it and the plot though was really good in it. The plot kind of twist and, you know, twists and all this stuff. So I kept watching it. And turns out, you know, everybody in the movie got big problems, right? Everybody got big problems. And so I found it interesting. I watched A Star Is Born, the new version. I don't know that I ever watched the whole thing. I didn't know that he hangs himself. Right? I thought he got in a car like Kris Kristofferson did in the old ones. I didn't remember that. So anyway, it's interesting that movie's about somebody being traumatized. And then the other movie we watched just the other night and that I would wholeheartedly recommend to you. Actually, all these movies are very good. I can't remember the one. I can't remember the Martin Scorsese one. But it's not too old. If you go down the list, you'll see it. Jack Nicholson's in it. Not Robert. I said Robert De Niro, but it's not De Niro. It's Jack Nicholson. So anyway, the other movie I watched was The King's Speech. Is that it? Yeah, and actors who I don't know. Well, I know the one because he played Barbossa in. he plays Barbossa in and so he in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. So it's that guy, but he plays King George the Sixth. I'm not sure what number it is, but anyway, he's the one that takes over after his brother, who is portrayed in the movie as an idiot. But he takes over for his brother, but he has a speech impediment. And so, you know, his father, the king, right, but the whole thing revolves around some traumatic event in his life when he was relatively young. And, you know, they don't go too into it, but, you know, it involves his brother. And it involves his father and something that, you know, that traumatized him as a kid. And so I just found it interesting that it seems like whatever I watch, there's trauma involved in it, right? That there's trauma involved in it. And but I'll tell you what, just a wonderful movie about somebody in certainly as part of the royal family. Very public life, but has a stuttering problem, and so cannot speak publicly. And that's what they do. They go and they, you know, as they get older, they, you know, have public events and they attend and they speak. But what happens when you can't speak? And so then, of all things, his father passes away. His brother abdicates to marry Wallace Simpson. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I found it interesting in the movie. That if you looked at, I think, the Duke of Windsor, isn't that who it was who married Wallace Simpson? They portray him as a fool. Yeah. Yeah. Being played by this woman, and they're not very kind to him. Now, I remember everything when this thing, I mean, the romanticized version of all of that is he, you know, he abdicates the throne to marry this woman. But the way he's painted in the movie, he's painted as kind of a jackass. Yeah. And marries Wallace Simpson in 1937 after her second divorce becomes final. And he's appointed governor of the Bahamas. He spends the rest of his life after the war in France, where he remained until his death in 1972. Now, I remember reading the story years ago, and it was this romanticized version of the story. And so its treatment in, you know, the King's Speech is much different than I expected. Kind of a historical takeaway. I thought that was odd, right? He kind of gets the movie gives him the back of the hand. So anyway, big news of today is the United States Navy has announced that the Bonhomme Richard will be scrapped. Pretty stunning, right? Yeah. Pretty stunning that arson is the cause, evidently, right? You have not seen a subsequent story saying that, as upon further investigation, or like if it was a football game, upon further review, we have decided that it is not, right? It is not. So you haven't heard that. So Tim Lynch was musing. So it is safe to assume, right, that is some disgruntled sailor aboard the Bonhomme Richard. And I'm as I've said before, I'm extremely interested to read the investigation of how a United States naval warship burns for 5 days in port. I still don't get it. Warships that have exploded at sea don't burn for that long. This is a story by Megan Eckstein, and from USNI News, so United States Naval Institute News, and they do hard news, which is one of the reasons I love reading their stuff. Navy will scrap USS Bonhomme Richard, UC decommissioned, used instead of scrapped in other places. The Navy decided to scrap the amphibious assault ship that burned for nearly 5 days earlier this year, concluding after months of investigations that trying to rebuild and restore the ship would take too much money and too much industrial base capacity. The July 12th fire aboard the Bonhomme Richard began in the lower vehicle storage area, but ravaged the island, the mast, and the flight deck as it burned its way through the inside of the big deck amphibious ship. The ship remained watertight throughout the ordeal, hasn't been moved from its spot on the pier at Naval Base San Diego, but between the fire itself and the days-long firefighting effort, about 60%, the word percent is misspelled, odd, of the ship was ruined and would have to be rebuilt or replaced. Rear Admiral Eric Van Hagee, I think that's how you say that name, the commander of Naval Regional Maintenance Center and the director of Surface Ship Maintenance and Modernization, told reporters today in a phone call, quote, "After thorough consideration, the Secretary of the Navy and the Chief of Naval Operations have decided to decommission the Bonhomme Richard due to the extensive damage sustained during the fire in July. In the weeks and months since that fire, the Navy conducted a comprehensive materials assessment to determine the best path forward for the ship and our Navy. The three main options that were considered: rebuild and restore the ship to its original function of moving Marines and their gear around for amphibious warfare, rebuild the ship to a new configuration for a new mission, such as submarine or surface ship tender, or a hospital ship, or decommission and scrap the ship. Verhaegh, Admiral type, said restoring the butt arm Richard to its original working form would have cost between $2.5 billion and $3.2 billion and taken 5 to 7 years. Now, let me just say this. Every one of the estimates I see that the Navy puts out is wrong. And they're not wrong by like, it didn't cost $3.2 billion, it cost $3.3 billion. Wildly wrong. Rebuilding the ship for a new purpose would have cost in excess of $1 billion and also taken 5 to 7 years. Though cheaper than rebuilding to its original configuration, Verhaegh said it would be cheaper to just design and build a new tender or hospital ship from scratch, decommissioning the ship. Harvesting the parts, towing and scrapping the hull will cost about $30 million and take just 9 to 12 months. Examining those three courses of action, we've reached the conclusion that we needed to decommission the platform. However, the deactivation can't happen just yet. There's still 4 investigations undergoing. The ship's currently being prepared to be towed, and the Navy is harvesting components of the ship, and that will continue. Once the investigation ends, and the more substantive work, in terms of larger systems being removed from the ship will be inactivated. It will be towed to Gulfport, Mississippi. Or it can also be towed to Puget Sound, where it would be put in mothballs until Gulf Coast shipyards are ready to rip it apart. The 4 investigations are taking place in parallel. A Naval Criminal Investigative Service, NCIS, that's a criminal investigation, which now includes the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, a command investigation led by Vice Admiral Scott Kahn, see if the commanders did what they were supposed to do, the commander of U.S. Third Fleet, that's what Kahn is, a Naval Sea Systems Command Failure Review Board, which will look at safety, structural, and design issues related to the ship and how changes could be made to prevent a fire from moving through the hull the way the fire on the Bonhomme Richard did, and a Nav Sea Safety Investigation to examine the events that took place on the ship leading up to the fire compared to existing policies and procedures. Now, what are the implications? The Navy's now down a big deck amphib. And more significantly, a big deck amphib that was just recently upgraded to accommodate the F-35. So this thing was going to be kind of like an aircraft carrier because of the F-35 capability. Admiral Verhaegh said, comprehensive assessments looked at what would happen to the industrial base and new ship construction for the fleet if the Navy opted to rebuild the Bonhomme Richard. And the price, not in dollars but in burden on the industrial base, was just too great to justify. You know, that's an interesting point, because that means our industrial base relative to shipbuilding is so fragile with such a small capacity to surge that can't absorb something like this. The ship was entering the end of a maintenance period when the fire broke out. And then there's one thing that's been added to the article, kind of interesting. Let's see, Verhaegh did not want to comment on what this could mean for future Navy procurement, trying to insert another amphibious assault ship to help replace the Bonhomme Richard. So, you know, the Marine Corps has always struggled, right? The Navy not so much into amphibious shipping. Marine Corps has always struggled to get them to build. And now, one of the premier platforms, right? One of the premier platforms that you have goes away in a, you know, very unexpected way. And so now your pool of assets gets even smaller. Yikes. Right? Yikes. So amphibious warfare, not so much. So that gets even more challenging in a already challenging environment. And then there's just a little note at the end. Since the end of World War II, the Navy has lost less than 30 ships due to unforeseen circumstances. So that covers 55, gets you to 2,000. So over the course of 75 years. USNI News reported, following the fire aboard the Los Angeles class nuclear attack boat USS Miami in 2012. The last ship scrapped ahead of its planned decommissioning date was the USS Guardian MCM-5 after the mine countermeasure ship was grounded on the Tubajada coral reef in 2013 and had to be dismantled. So somebody drove their ship into a coral reef. That's not good for a ship. The fire aboard the Los Angeles class nuclear attack USS Miami, you know, I don't know that I ever read or knew about it. In March, Casey James Furry, F-U-R-Y, 25, pled guilty to setting the May 23rd, 2012 fire aboard the Los Angeles class submarine that was under repair in Portsmouth Naval Shipyard in Kittery, Maine. Yeah, I don't remember reading so much about that. So this is not the first time somebody set fire to a ship. Now, the Navy, pretty tight-lipped about the investigation. However, TV station San Diego reported, I don't know, a couple months ago, that, you know, a sailor has been detained and I believe it was put in pretrial confinement as a result of their investigations. The, you know, one of the things that I talk about on a fairly frequent basis, and I see it all the time when I do post-traumatic winning, is Elizabeth Smart. She is in the news today. Or yesterday. She put out something saying that, and this is to me amazing, that she never talked to her parents about the ordeal. And I saw that and I was like, what? So how did she deal with it? Did she, you know, how did she deal with it? And so, if you go, you know, just put her name in, right? You'll come up with a story. Elizabeth Smart revealed over the weekend that she was embarrassed and ashamed to tell her parents about her experience while being held in captivity and repeatedly raped after being kidnapped at 14 from her home. Here's her Instagram post. I saw a question from my post the other day asking, when did I tell my family what happened? The truth is, I never sat them all down and had a tell-all experience with them. Honestly, when I got home, I didn't want anyone to know what had happened. I was embarrassed and ashamed. I was brought to an advocacy center where I had to disclose much of what happened to two professionals, and they in turn relayed much of what happened to my parents. But I don't think my parents ever heard in detail what happened from my own lips until my court appearance almost a decade later. I have so many thoughts and feelings about this topic. First and foremost, I never want anyone to compare their experiences to me. We are all different and unique, and we can never accurately compare our experience with someone else's. I also want to point out in my case that my case was highly publicized. Everyone already knew crimes were committed against me. So it didn't take me coming forward and disclosing the extent of my abuse to multiple people before my captors were taken into custody, nor did I have people doubt me. For these and many other reasons, I want victims to know that hashtag I believe you, which is a campaign that she began here within the last month. I think I talked about it a couple weeks ago. And I hope that, if you read the numbers on sexual assaults, like for every 100 sexual assaults that are committed, less than 10% are reported, blah, 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 blah. So she starts this campaign called I Believe You. And I hope that as all of us move forward, when we come across victims and survivors, our first reaction is to believe them, exclamation mark. Should we have friends or family disclose to us, just listen. They don't owe us answers to our questions or curiosities. Love them, support them, and be their friend. Amen to that. And you know what? I mean, so the experiences I have all the time, you know, what do you do? What do you do? I think what you do is you get the you create an environment that they feel safe in and that they can talk to you. And then you tell them, hey, when you're ready, I'm here for you. And the other thing, you know, that I tell people is when you stop faking it, right, you open the door for them not to fake it. And I think a lot of times what's most effective, and I know in my life in doing what I do, I've had people that have come up to me and said, I've never told this to anybody. And why have they told me? I'm 30 to 40 years older than they are. I don't know them from Adam. So to me, the other thing you have to do if you want to open that door, is you have to stop faking it. Well, Mac, what do you mean by that? Well, you have to look at them and say, you know, you don't know this about me, but... And then you're going to tell them a story about something that happened in your life. And it's going to change the way they look at you. Because the way they look at you is like, you're this full-up brown person. You don't have any of the problems that they have. And most of the time, that's flat-out wrong, right? We all know that. But they don't, right? Especially if they're younger. They look at you like, you can't be dealing with what I deal with. So when you stop faking it with them, for them, it's this incredible experience of, first of all, trust. That they trust you, and that you have trusted them, right? With something that, you know, they never believed could happen. And I think that's, and I would tell you this is important in parenting as well. I think is that as they become older teens, you have to sit down and you have to have real conversations with them. And if all you do is lecture your kids, then don't be surprised when they don't come to you with a problem because they don't want to disappoint you. And that's what Elizabeth Smart said. You know, I relayed stuff that people relayed to my parents, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's this stuff is brutal. But I think, you know, we all want to be people that people can come to and talk to this stuff. And it's not easy. And that's why, I absolutely believe more than ever that most of us don't need therapists. Okay, and I'm not, let me tell you, therapists, if I could say, they're like weapons, okay? How do you select a weapon to shoot something? Well, you look at the range, you look at the terrain around you, and then you decide what is the best weapon for me to affect the target, right? It's called weaponeering. It's an actual skill. So you decide what's the best, you know, you decide what's the best weapon to impact that target. And that's what you use. So for any issue involving mental health, go see a therapist. Well, that's a pretty broad term, right? Therapist. But we don't really, therapist, right? He's a therapist. She's a therapist. Well, what kind of therapist do you need to help you? Do you need a Freudian therapist that deals with people that have substantive I think since 95% of us don't have a serious mental illness, that when you go to see a therapist who's going to do the Freudian thing with you, I think that's the wrong weapon on that target. And I think for many of the people I talk to, it's not a positive experience and they stop going. Okay, so to me, it's a misapplication of a technique. I'm in the Marine Corps, I used to say there's no such thing as a good or a bad technique. Oh, I like to do ambushes like this. Well, what do you mean, man? The ambush has to be uniquely appropriate for the terrain and the mission, you know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's like you can't have a favorite technique. Your favorite technique better be the one that works best, or else you're going to be in a world of shit. So you could take that with anything, right? You know, my favorite technique for this. No, man, it's what works the best. And I think a lot of times that what people need is a coach. They need a mentor. They need somebody to show them the path. But I will tell you this, you know, the system that we have does this. You go see a therapist. And then what happens is your recommended meds and you go to group or individual therapy. That's how we do it. And I will tell you, that fails for a lot of people. Because I think it's the wrong tool. It's the wrong tool. And so, to me, when you're trying to, with Elizabeth Smart, you know, when you're trying to, help somebody, does Elizabeth Smart need to be, you know, psychoanalyzed, Freudian style? I don't know, maybe. You know, when somebody's been through something like that, maybe that one hurt. Is that what gets your life on a road to living a great life? I'm not sure. Probably not, is my experience. And so, to me, the whole mentor thing, the whole coach thing, is that's what most of us need. Most of us need somebody to show us that there is, in fact, a path. But I will tell you this. Most people, when I go speak, nobody's ever seen anything like I've done. Most people don't preach that. Most therapists and coaches don't know that stuff, right? So, I don't know. I think the whole world of therapy needs to be, you know, jump-started into reality, saying that, hey, a lot of you guys are missing the mark on this stuff. They're going, they're coming to see you. They're not getting what they want, and then they go away. So, United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Grant Newsham's going to join us in about 25 minutes, 26 minutes. So we'll get a chance to talk to Grant about a number of things. So excited to do that. So a very good morning to you. And Grant Newsham joins us here after the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning. Hold on. I know how to do this. Actually, I was messing with my audio. And I've still got a bug to work out. So, with apologies. Dedicated to Elizabeth Smart, who is just an incredible human being, continues. I mean, if you do a news search on Elizabeth Smart, what you'll find is her "I Believe You" campaign. This story about, you know, she never actually had to sit down with her parents and told them what happened. Which, you know, kind of makes me sad. So here's a young girl who's, you know, doesn't have an outlet inside her own family. And it's important to talk about that stuff, right? With somebody. I was surprised. You go back further, she was groped on a plane like last spring, something like that. And Elizabeth Smart's family, Mormon, father came out as gay. Now, again, I don't particularly care, but I mean, it's a bit of a shock in the Mormon culture, yes? So Elizabeth Smart, man, she's a tough girl, man. She's a tough human being, and this is dedicated to her this morning. I'm a huge fan of hers. God bless you, Elizabeth, and you inspire a lot of people. And I'm one of them. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather. In Quantico, last I checked, it was cloudy. Partly sunny in 47. Down the coast of Marine Corps Base, Camp Lejeune, it is... My headset is killing me. It's not my headset, it's this pot. That's the slider that goes up and down on the mixer, called a pot for whatever reason. I don't know if it has dust in it, and it's so it unbalances and makes the audio kind of flickery, but only in my headset, I think. So anyway, down the coast of Camp Lejeune, sunny in 48, so cool on the east coast. 29 Palms, sun in 57. Pendleton, sun in 59. Camp Smith in Hawaii, clear, dark, and 63. Hawaii, where nobody can go. They have 3 advisories in effect, so you know we got to check that out. Special weather statement until Wednesday at 4 a.m. Coastal flooding, harbor surges due to a large northwest swell and high tide. Second warning is a high surf warning, and the third warning is the proverbial small craft advisory. So big surge coming out of the Pacific Northwest impacting the island of Hawaii. Yeah, that's how they say it. In Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 70. Down under, it is dark, cloudy, and 80 on the northern coast of Australia. And in Oslo, in Norway, it is dark, clear, and 33 degrees. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is, man, it's cold. It's sunny and 56 here right now. But it's supposed to get into the 70s today, don't you know? Yeah, we're huge fans of that. So current weather. And then we'll check some news headlines. Haven't done that in a few days. Didn't do it yesterday because I'm still fighting the technology thing. You know, people did updates. And then there's always gremlins that happen. Today, looking for a high of 71. Tomorrow, 69. Wednesday. Thursday, 74. Friday, 71. Saturday, 71. That is a look at your weather. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. Obviously, the Bon Homme Richard is at the top of the list today if you're following the DOD. But we'll check a bunch of those. And then Grant Newsham's going to join us. So don't touch that dial. Grant's always interesting. We'll get his thoughts on some of the some of President-elect Biden's new cabinet appointees. What are the implications relative to are we going to roll back our trade confrontation with China? So we'll get Grant's thoughts about that. He's also an intel guy. We'll ask him about what happened in Iran and his thoughts on that. So, if you look at Iran, it's been pretty quiet, right? Yeah. Tough economic times. After the death of Mr. Soleimani, General Soleimani, and now throughout the summer, you know, explosion after explosion after explosion of some group that's aligned against the government. Now, it could be domestic and international, could be could be a foreign group, right? And everybody points the finger at Israel, but I think sometimes we give Israel credit when it's convenient, and it's not exactly them. But anyway, so that's been going on, and now this assassination, really, of a scientist, their top nuclear scientist. So we'll get Grant's thoughts on all of that. And might, if the Biden administration returns to the Obama approach, might the United States rescue, because the alignment that you're seeing is the United States, Israel, and now the Arab countries all lining up. And, you know, I read what I thought was a pretty credible source story saying that the only reason that Saudi Arabia, and I can't remember what the other country, did not recognize Israel was they were unsure of what the Biden administration was going to do relative to Iran. So, I mean, imagine this. Imagine if that Saudi Arabia recognizes Israel diplomatically. You have the entire Middle East aligned with Israel and the United States against Iran. And might the Biden administration rescue Iran from that? I hope not. I hope not. So we will take a quick break. We'll come back and check news headlines. More of Allmarine Radio coming up next.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform. So stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis. But sometimes, reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, Reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
How about this for a headline? We have a drug problem. Camp Lejeune starts random LSD testing. How about that? Random LSD testing, which has never been part of drug testing. Right? So for... for this to become something that's been tested for, it has to, you know, certainly follow a string of incidents, right? LSD, here's a story written by John Van Deaver, Stars and Stripes. LSD has been added to the list of drugs that are randomly tested for at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina amid suspicions that more and more Marines and sailors at the base are tripping, base officials said. We have a drug problem in the 2nd Marine Division, said the unit's commanding general, Major General Francis Donovan, in a statement on Monday. We're changing the way in which we test for illegal substances. A series of drug-related incidents involving Marines and sailors was behind the decision to test for LSD in random screenings. The Marine Corps said, in the past, Marines would typically only be screened for hallucinogenic drugs if there was probable cause. But all that has changed following recent incidents. Some 4,000 tests have been conducted since the beginning of this past summer. This test led to numerous positive results. Consequently, going forward, 2nd Marine Division plans to conduct random testing locally and on a more consistent basis. Quote, zero tolerance is the Marine Corps stance, and Marines need to understand that there is no drug that they can take without the means for government detection, said Lieutenant Colonel Christian Rui, the staff judge advocate for the 2nd Marine Division. So there's been a series of incidents. Right, and I can tell you people I've spoken to at the division, I mean, this has been an issue for a while. The question is getting you know, people to test for. In September of 2019, a 23-year-old Marine was charged with trafficking in LSD. Trafficking. In June, the Naval Criminal Investigative Service, warned that there had been numerous cases involving Department of Navy personnel who purchased LSD over the internet, the so-called dark web, since the beginning of 2020. And, you know, there's more to this story, but I'm not at liberty to talk about it. So, again, I've talked to commanding officers with 2nd Marine Division because I spent a lot of time back there. And they have been keenly aware that this has been a problem. So, second story is, and again, if it's a problem in the 2nd Marine Division, I would tell you, if you start testing DOD-wide, you will find the same exact thing. How did we get that way? Well, the reason we got that way is because the word goes out in the Lance Criminal Network that they don't test for LSD. Yep. So you could do it. Not a problem. You're not going to get caught. You don't need to mess around with all these other drugs they test for. I mean, come on, what are you, stupid? So, so top story. Let me go over a few ones. Everybody's waiting for the uptick in coronavirus cases, right? So that is in the news. The, let's see, we've already gone through USNI. Top story in Wall Street Journal, and then I got to get Grant on here in a minute. Pfizer, Moderna ask Europe for approval of COVID-19 vaccines. So that's good news for everybody, right? So that top story in the Wall Street Journal today. Next is top story Marine Corps Times. What do you think it's going to be? So you have the Bon Armor Shard being scrapped, and you have, you know, LSD at Camp Lejeune. What do you think this top story is? The top story on top of the website. Here's why these Marines now are wearing the French Fourager.
What?
Can't make it up. Next is top five stories in Early Bird real quick. Number one, Navy will scrap fire ravage Bon Homme Richard. So we've talked about that. Number two, after Trump, Congress could chaff at retired officers leading the Pentagon. And that's alluding to Secretary Mattis, blah, 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 blah. Number three, four troops have died of coronavirus complication in as many weeks. None of them on active duty. All of them members of the National Guard. So to me, they're civilians. They're not. I mean, when you categorize this stuff, to date, one member of the active duty military, a chief aboard the USS Roosevelt, has died. Number four, Pentagon shakeup continues as another top officer has left. This time, the post-election is Christopher Mayer, the top Pentagon official leading the Defeat ISIS Task Force, resigned yesterday. So that happened. And number five, NATO mulls its future in Afghanistan as U.S. draws down forces. Some operational stuff. The Nimitz is back in the Middle East after exercising in the Indian Ocean. Phantom Forever, the iconic jet, makes its final appearance at a Japan air defense show. So the F-4, yeah, if you ever heard that thing go over, you knew that that was like a serious event. It mauls the sky. All right, that's a look at the news. Now, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get Grant Newsham back on. And we'll talk to Grant about all kinds of different stuff. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up here after this quick break on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.